Welcome to Zichud Daf Siman. My name is Avram Goldhar, and today we're Masechet Erev in Daf Lamed Beis. So the three topics are going to focus on number one. Rav Nachman said, "B'shal Torah ein chazak shalich oseh shlichuso." Regarding a deraisa, we do not rely on the presumption that a shalich performed his shlichus. And b'shal Sofrim chazak shalich oseh shlichuso. Regarding a derabbanan, we may rely on the presumption that the shalich performed his shlichus. Rashi explains that the difference is that in regards to the derabbanan, even if the shliach didn't fulfill a shlichus, the transgression is less severe. Rosh Hashanah says, Echod zeh ve'echod zeh, chazak ha-shliach oseh shlichuso. Regarding both a deraisa and a derabbanan, we may rely on the presumption the shliach performed a shlichus. Rav Sheshes brings three supports to his position. The first one based on a mission that teaches that when the Omer is brought, the Chiddush is permitted to those that live far from Yerushalayim who could not know exactly when it was brought, from midday onward. This seems to prove that in the case of deraisa, we can presume a shliach did his shlichus. Rav Nachman answered that this case is different with Vishi Yodin she ain't based in Misatzim, because people know that Basin does not procrastinate. Point number two, this machlokas of one who was invited to take a basket of fruit from a chaver has to take off trumas and maisras. Revi says he may eat from the fruits and assume the chaver separated trumas and maisras, whereas Rabban Shimon Gamliel says he must first separate trumas and maisras because chaverim are not suspected of separating trumas and maisras shulamina mukaf when they're not in close proximity of the food which it's taken off from. Ravina understands that the machlokas between them is that Revi holds nichalei lo chaver delavid hu isura klila, a chaver would be more amenable to commit a minor infraction, meaning not tithing from produce in proximity to the food needing to be tithed, so that a common person does not commit a major transgression, such as eating tevel. Rabban Shimon Gamliel holds that it would be more amenable to a chaver that the Am Haaretz commit a major infraction, such as eating tevel, and he himself would not commit even a minor infraction, such as tithing from produce that was not mina mukav. And point number three, the next Mishnah states that if one put his Erev in a tree at a height of more than 10 fachim off the ground, then the Erev is not valid. But if it's below 10 fachim, the Erev is valid. The Gemara determines that we're discussing a case where the tree is in Rishus HaRabim. Therefore, when the Erev is above 10 fachim, and the person intends to establish his Shabbos residence on the ground, then the person is not in the same place as his Erev. However, when it is below 10 fachim, even though there is the problem of removing an Erev from the tree, the mission is going according to Rebbe, who holds Kol davar shehu mishum shvus will gazru olav bein hashmashos. Any activity that has prohibited derabbanan on Shabbos was not forbidden during bein hashmashos. Since he's permitted to remove the Erev from the tree bein hashmashos, the Erev is considered accessible and therefore valid. So once again, the three points are: number one, Rav Nachman said b'shal Torah ein chazak shlich oseh shlichuso. Regarding a deraisa, we do not rely on the presumption that a shlich performed his shlichus, and b'shal Sofrim chazak shlich oseh shlichuso. Regarding a derabbanan, we may rely on the presumption that the shlich performed his shlichus. Rashi explains the difference is in regards to the derabbanan, even if the shlich didn't fulfill shlichus, the transgression is less severe. Rav Sheshe said echod zeh ve'echod zeh chazak shlich oseh shlichuso. Regarding both a deraisa and a derabbanan, we may rely on the presumption that the shliach performed his mission. Rav Sheshes brings three supports to his position. The first one based on the mission that teaches that when the Omer is brought, the Chaddish is permitted to those that live far from Yerushalayim, who could not know exactly when it was brought, from midday onward. This seems to prove that in the case of a deraisa, we can presume a shliach did his shlichus. Rav Nachman answered that this case is different, Lefishi Yodin She'im Basin Misatzim, because people know that Basin does not procrastinate. Point number two, this Malchok is if one who is invited to take a basket of fruit from a chaver has to take off Trumas and Maisers. Rebbe says he may eat from the fruits and assume the chaver separated Trumas and Maisers, whereas Rabban Shimon Gamliel says he must first separate Trumas and Maisers because chaverim are not suspected of separating Trumas and Maisers Shalomina Mukav when they're not in close proximity of the food which it's taken off from. Ravina understands that the machlokas between them is that Rebbe holds nichalei lo chaver de la'avid hu isura klila, a chaver would be more amenable to commit a minor infraction, meaning not tithing from produce in proximity to the food needing to be tithed, v'lo la'avid ama aretz isura rabba, so that a common person does not commit a major transgression such as eating tevel. Rav Shimon Gamliel holds that it would be more amenable to a chaver that the Am Haaretz commit a major infraction, such as eating tevel, and he himself would not commit even to a minor infraction, such as tithing from produce that was not mina mukav. And point number three, the next Mishnah states that if one put his erev in a tree at a height of more than 10 fachim off the ground, then the erev is not valid. But if it's below 10 fachim, the erev is valid. The Gemara determines that we're discussing a case where the tree is in a rishus aravim. Therefore, when the erev is above 10 fachim and the person intends to establish his Shabbos residence on the ground, then the person is not in the same place as his erev. However, when it's below 10 fachim, even though there is the problem of removing the erev from the tree, the Mishnah is going according to Rebbe, who holds, Kol davar shumishum shvus will gazru alav bein hashmashos. Any activity that is prohibited to Rabbanan on Shabbos was not forbidden during bein hashmashos. Since he's permitted to remove the erev from the tree bein hashmashos, the erev is considered accessible and therefore valid. All right, so now we go to our simon for Lamed Beis, and the simon is a lab, and we think of a mad scientist, so here we go. The mad scientist who studied human behavior by giving a shaliach the task of bringing the omer and asking a chaver to hand out baskets of fruit loved watching people figure out what they should do when their erev was put in a tree. Once again, in slow motion. The mad scientist, that must mean Ron Duff, Lamed Beis, lab. The mad scientist who studied human behavior by giving a shaliach the task of bringing the omer, which reminds us of the machlokes between Rav Nachman and Rav Sheshes, whether we can rely that a shaliach performed his shalichas only with the rabbanans, because if he didn't, the transgression was less severe, or with the rishis too. And the case of Rav Sheshes brought to support his position that those living far away from Yerushalayim can rely on the shaliach that the omer was brought. So the mad scientist who studied human behavior by giving a shaliach the task of bringing the omer and asking a chaver to hand out baskets of fruit, which reminds us that it's a machlokes between Rebbe and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel whether a chaver would rather be over on a minor transgression, i.e. not taking trumas and maizos mina mukaf, to prevent an ama aretz from violating a major avera of eating tevel, or he chooses to ensure he doesn't violate the minor transgression of not taking mina mukaf, even if the ama aretz would come to violate a major one of eating tevel. So the mad scientist who studied human behavior by giving a shaliach the task of bringing the omer and asking a chaver to hand out baskets of fruit, love watching people figure out what they should do when their erev was put in a tree. Which reminds the Mishnah discussing the validity of an erev in a tree. And if it's below 10 tfachim, it is valid even though there's a problem of removing it. Because the Mishnah goes according to Rebbe, who holds, Kol davishu mishum shvus will gazru alav bein hashmashos. Any activity that is prohibited the Rabban on Shabbos was not forbidden during bein hashmashos. Since he's permitted to remove the erev from the tree bein hashmashos, the erev is considered accessible and therefore valid. So once again, the mad scientist who studied human behavior by giving a shaliach the task of bringing the omer and asking a chaver to hand out baskets of fruit loved watching people figure out what they should do when their erev was put in a tree. All right, now it's time for a four blah bah chazara. Daf Chavches. So the simple Chavches is a strong man. So here goes. The big strong man, that must mean we're on Daf Chavches. The big strong man was going to eat the bird he bought with his Maaser Sheni money. Which reminds us on Daf Chav Zayin Amud Beis, two braises learned from the Pasuk of Maaser Sheni, utilizing Klal Prat Uklal, which foods can be purchased with Maaser Sheni funds. One braisa concluded that the food must be prima priva gedulei karka, something that reproduces from its own seed and is nourished by the ground. The other braisa concluded that it must be vlad vlados haaretz, generated by something that was created from the ground. The Gemara asked what foods these two braises were arguing about, and after rejecting a suggestion that was erroneously presented in the name of Abaya, Ravina answers that the machlokes is about birds. The first braisa includes birds because they're also nourished from the ground, whereas the second braisa excludes them because they were not created from the ground, but from the rakak, a place where there was both dry land and water. The Gemara goes on to explain how each braisa arrived at their conclusion based on the different way they understood how to apply the principle of klal prat uklal. So the big strong man was going to eat the bird he bought with his Maaser Sheni money by his erev made of coriander, which reminds us, it was said in the name of Rav Ma'arvin B'Gudanios, one may make an erev with coriander. The Gemara questions this based on a braisa that teaches that since coriander causes one to diminish a zera, it should not be eaten by those without children. And if the stalks became hard enough for the seeds to have ripened, then even those with many children should not eat it since it's harmful to one's health. How then could it be considered a significant food to be used as an erev if it had such a detrimental effect? The Gemara gives three answers. Number one, Rav only permitted them to be used for an erev for those who had children, and only when they were not hardened enough to harm them. Answer number two, even those that were not hardened were permitted to be used for an erev by those that did not have children, since they are suitable for those that do. Similar to permitting wine to be used by Nazir for an erev, since wine is permitted to others. And answer number three, Rav only permitted Midian coriander which is a harmless variety. So the big strong man was going to eat the bird he bought with his Maisa Sheni money by his eruv made of coriander right after his lesson from a young boy on the brachos for green grains and hops. Which reminds, Rabbi Zera had a discussion with the young boy outside the Beis HaMidrash regarding the brachos for kashus v'chaziz, hops and green grain. The boy said that his Rebbe taught him the bracha for hops was Barei Pri Adama and the bracha for green grain was Shehakol Nieh B'Varo. Rabbi Zera said it was more logical that the bracha for green grain should be Ha'adama since it grows from the ground, whereas the hops should be Shehakol since it's nourished from the air. Rashi explains that hops do not sprout from the earth, but grow on prickly branches of shrubs. The Gemara concludes that the halacha is like the schoolboy and explains that since hops are a fully matured fruit, a Barei Pri Adama is said, whereas green grains are not fully ripened, so a Barei Pri Adama is not recited. Hops are also nourished from the ground, which is evident when they die after a shrub is cut down. Daf Chav Tes. So the Simra Chav Tes is a cot. So here goes. The indecisive Erev maker put 5 peaches on his cot. Cot? That must be more on Daf Chav Tes. The indecisive Erev maker put 5 peaches on his cot, next to a cup of apples, which reminds us that Rav Nachman ruled that the minimum amount of apples required for an Erev is a cov, the amount sufficient for 2 meals. The Gemara challenges this ruling based on a ruling said in the name of Rav, that 5 peaches is sufficient to make an Erev. Since apples and peaches are both fruits, why does Rav Nachman require the larger amount of a cov for apples? The Gemara answers, Hani Cheshive, the peaches are significant food for the meal. Rashi explains, based on the Gemara later on Amud Beis, that for those foods which are eaten as part of the meal, the full equivalency of 2 meals is not required. Rather, only the amount of that food which would be eaten during the 2 meals need to be placed in the Erev. Whereas Hani Lo Cheshive, the apples are not significant, and the larger amount is required. The Mefarshim mentioned the apples in Talmudic times were hard and not tasty. So the indecisive Erev maker put 5 peaches on his cot next to a cup of apples to decide which to use for his Erev, then changed his mind and chose to combine 4 foods for 2 meals instead. Which reminds us, it's stated in the Mishnah mentioned earlier, "Bemazon shtei seudos le'erev," and all foods combine to equal the amount of food for 2 meals, which is the amount required to make an Erev. Rav Yosef thought to say, "Ad de'eka sudamahai v'sudamahai," that different foods may be combined only if there's an amount sufficient from this food for 1 meal and 1 meal from this food, but that smaller amounts of 3 or more foods may not be combined. Rabbi said to him, "Afilo mechzel l'shish l'raviyah," even a half, third, or a quarter of a meal may come from each of the foods. The only condition is that the combined total equals the amount of 2 meals. So the indecisive Erev maker put 5 peaches on his cot next to a cup of apples to decide which to use for his Erev, then changed his mind and chose to combine 4 foods for 2 meals instead, and include a little beer. Which reminds Rav Acha Breda Rav Yosef thought to say before his father Rav Yosef that the amount of beer required to make an Erev is 2/4 of a cup or telugin. This was based on a calculation made from Hilchos Shabbos regarding carrying, where the amount of beer one would be chayav for carrying is 1/4 of a cov, which is 4 times the amount of wine one would be chayav for carrying. So assuming the ratio of 4-1 is a standard, then if half a lug of wine is needed to make an Erev, then 2 lugin of beer should be required. The Gemara says that this question does not apply, since the reason we need 4 times the amount of beer than wine for carrying is that we need something chashuv. Whereas with regards to an Erev, we don't require an amount that is chashuv. We only require an amount that people would normally eat, which in the case of beer is less than 2 lugin. Daf Lamed. So the Simra Daf Lamed is a Malamed, a Rebbe. So here goes. The Rebbe, that makes me more on Daf Lamed. The Rebbe fed his class Mizonos to satisfy their hunger and sustain them. Which reminds us, the Gemara inferred from the Mishnah statement, Hanodamina mazum muti b'maim u'b'melech, one who vowed to abstain from sustenance is permitted to drink water and have salt, that specifically only water and salt are not called sustenance, but all other foods are called sustenance. This seems to refute the opinions of Rav and Shmuel, who both said, Ein mevarchem borei minei mezonos elo chameshos haminim bilvad. We may only make the bracha, who creates types of sustenance, on the 5 types of grains. Rav Huna said that there's no refutation, because the Mishnah is referring to someone who vowed and said, Kol hazon alai, anything that satisfies is prohibited to me. Water and salt do not satisfy, but all other foods do satisfy. Rashi explains that the term mazon, on the other hand, implies something that sustains the heart and satisfies hunger, which is something only the 5 grains do. This distinction is evident in an incident with Rabbi Yochanan, who ate large amounts of the very sweet Peros Ginnesar, and although he felt satisfied, he expressed that he did not feel sustained. So the Rebbe fed his class mazonos to satisfy their hunger and sustain them, as they schlepped their beds and utensils out to make an Erev. which reminds the Gemara brings two versions of what Beis Shammai holds regarding an Erev. It was taught in the Brice that Beis Shammai holds, Ein ma'arvin l'nazir b'yayin l'yisrael b'truma. We may not make an Erev for a Nazir with wine or for a Yisrael with truma. When Beis Hillel challenged Beis Shammai, the justice Beis Shammai agree that one may make an Erev for an adult Erev Yom Kippur, even though the adult cannot eat the food on Yom Kippur, since the food may be eaten by children, so too one should be allowed to make an Erev for a Nazir with wine or for Yisrael with truma. Beis Shammai responded that in the case of Yom Kippur, the Erev is a meal that was suitable for the person to eat while it's still day, whereas in the case of the Nazir, the Erev of wine was not suitable to him, Erev Shabbos. According to Hananya, Beis Shammai would only consider an Erev valid ad sheyotzi mitasvo kol klei tashmishu l'sham, if one took out his bed and all of his utensils, which he'll need for Shabbos, to the place of the Erev. So the Rebbe fed his class mizonos to satisfy their hunger and sustain them, as they schlepped their beds and utensils out to make an Erev, along with two meals measured according to each kid. Which reminds, the Gemara seeks to determine whose opinion a Mishnah follows that states, Yesha amru kol afi mashu adam. There are incidents where they said that the measurements determined according to each individual and no uniform measure was established, such as the kmitza from a mincha, the handful of katoras on Yom Kippurim, one who drinks a mouthful on Yom Kippur, and food for two meals for an Erev. Rabbi Zera said at Simchus, who said, "My dechazile be'inan, it must be fit for the individual involved." Daf Lamed Aleph. So the Siman for Lamed Aleph is the law, and we think of a judge. I did a little Siman surgery here at the very end. Instead of saying giving it to a kitchliach, I said giving it to little Shimi, the shliach. So here goes. Judge Cohn. Judge. That must be run Daf Lamed Aleph. Judge Cohn was being carried in a box to the cemetery to determine if the Erev was on a grave. Which reminds us, in the Mishnah on Daf Chav Vav Amud Beis, Rav Yudah said that a Kohen may place his Eruv afil ben akvaros, even in a cemetery, because the Kohen can make a partition between himself and the grave and then go through the cemetery and eat his Eruv. After determining on Ardav how exactly the Kohen can access the Eruv without becoming Tamei, the Gemara seeks to understand why the Rabbanan forbid using it. The Gemara explains that they hold Asuik nos bayis b'isuri hanah. They hold that it's prohibited to acquire a dwelling place with objects that are Asur Bahana, and therefore he may not place his Erev on a grave. Rashi explains that a grave and the implements of a corpse are forbidden for one's personal benefit based on the Gezer Shava, which connects the passing of Miriam with the subject of the Egla Rufa. Just as one cannot derive Hana from the decapitated calf, so too one cannot derive Hana from a corpse or its implements. So Judge Cohn was being carried in a box through the cemetery to determine if the Erev was on the grave, when he noticed the Levi separating Maaser Rishon from standing grain for his Erev. Which reminds, the next Mishnah states that one may make an Erev with Maaser Rishon Shanitka Trumaso, Maaser Rishon whose Truma had been taken. The Gemara clarifies that the Mishnah is coming to teach that Maaser Rishon is permissible to use Shehikdimu B'Shibalin when the separation was done while the grain was still in the ears, before the owner was even obligated to separate Truma for the Kohen. The owner therefore only needs to separate Maaser Rishon and Trumas Maaser, but not Truma Gedola. The Gemara points out that the Mishnah's teaching is in accordance with Rabbi Avo, who said in the name of Reish Lakish, Maaser Rishon Shehikdim V'Shibalim Patim Truma Gedola. Maaser Rishon, which was taken off while the grain was still in the ears, is Pater from Truma Gedola, as it says in the Pasuk regarding Maaser Rishon, V'Hirimosa Mimenu Trumas Hashem Maaser Mina Maaser, and you should offer up from it Hashem's Truma, a tithe of the Maaser. Maaser mina Maaser, amarti lecha. I told you, referring to the Levi, to give the Kohen a tithe of the Maaser, velo Truma Gedola mina Maaser, and not both Truma Gedola and Truma's Maaser from the Levi's Maaser Rishon. So Judge Cohn was being carried in a box to the cemetery to determine if the Erev was on a grave, when he noticed the Levi separating Maaser Rishon from standing grain for his Erev, and giving it to little Shimi, the Shaliach. Which reminds, the next Mishnah states that if one sends his Erev in the hands of a Katan, it's not a valid Erev, even if he deposits it in the proper place. The Gemara asks why Katan cannot serve as a shaliach, since Rav Huna said, Katan govas the Erev, a child may collect the Erev food from members of the Chatzer for an Erev Chatzeros. The Gemara answers that our mission is dealing with an Erev Tchumim, whereas Rav Huna was discussing an Erev Chatzeros. Rashi explains that the purpose of an Erev Tchumim is to acquire a Shabbos residence, and a minor lacks the power of acquisition, therefore he can't serve as a shaliach. In the case of the Erev Chatzeros, however, the child is merely gathering the Erev food into one place, and automatically the various dwellings merge into one place. All right, now it's time to conclude with our pop quiz of 10 questions, plus 3 bonus questions from Maseches Brachos and Shabbos. Number 1, which daf did we learn that an Erev less than 10 tefachim high in a tree is valid based on Rebbe who holds kol davar shehu mishum shvus hu gazru alav bein hashmashos. That's on daf lamed beis. Good, number two. Which daf we have a machlokes is whether salt water can be purchased with ma'aser sheni monies. That's on daf chav zayin. Good, number three. Which daf when one can make an erev with five peaches but needs a kav if using apples. That's on daf Chavtes. Good, number four. Which daf when the rabbanon hold that one cannot use a grave for the place of an erev since it's forbidden to make a residence with a suriyanah. That's on daf Lamed Aleph. Good, number five. Which daf when the child cannot be a shaleich for an erev tchumim since he can't acquire the place as a residence. That's on daf Lamed Aleph. Good, number six. Which daf learn there's no standard measure for kmitza, chafina, drinking on Yom Kippur, and for the two meals for making erev. That's on daf Lamed. Good, number seven. Which daf we have a machlok is whether a chavur would commit a minor avera to prevent an ama'aretz from doing a larger one or not. That's on daf Lamed Beis. Good, number eight. Which daf learn that one can combine many foods to equal the amount of two meals to make the erev. That's on daf Chavtes. Good, number nine. Which daf do we have a malchok is whether it's a chazaka, shulich ose, shulichuso, with a derisa or not. That's on daf. Lamed Beis. Good. And finally, number 10. Which daf do we have two opinions what Beis Shammai holds regarding an erev? One being that the person must bring his bed and utensils to the place. That's on daf Lamed. Good. Now the three bonus questions. Number one. Which daf do we have about Dan L'chav Schus? That's on daf Kuf Chav Zayin in Shabbos. Good. Number two. Which daf when the one is chai for boni, even with a kol shehu, that's on daf Kuf Beis in Shabbos. Good. And number three, which daf when that Takanas Ezra was modeled after Har Sinai, that's on daf Chaf and Brachas. Excellent. All right, that concludes our pop quiz. This is Rabbi Avraham Gold from Zichu. Wishing you a great day and great learning.